The Innocent, Chapter 9. He wasn't sure exactly what had woken him up, but he allowed sleep to leave him slowly, letting his eyelids flutter and close for a few seconds at a time, while he allowed his consciousness to reemerge. Waking up was a slow process these days. His life didn't depend upon his ability to be awake and alert at a moment's notice. There were no dangers threatening to break in through the door, no knife permanently ensconced beneath his pillow. He could give himself time to stretch, acclimatize, and think. Each time he opened his eyes, he took in a few more details about the room he had spent the night in. The floral drapes at the window, which lay in front of the liberal dusting of salt. The cream-colored walls that were dressed with a variety of prints and old photographs. The tan carpet that had an old oval rug covering the center of it. The untidy cot lying against the length of the wall opposite, butting up against the old oak wardrobe. He wondered which one of them had spent the night with him, keeping watch. The last thing he remembered about last night was sitting on the sofa downstairs, listening to conversations about ghosts and spirits and monsters. They hadn't been scary stories. They'd focused on the good ones, the funny ones, the odd and the even odder. His dad had laughed, so had Sam. And Missouri had asked the questions of someone who believed, but who had never witnessed anything remotely like what they were talking about firsthand. They had included him in the tales, discussing events from his childhood, his teenage years, events from before his accident. He had had better memories of some of them than others, and had poker-faced his way through incidents that they'd wanted his thoughts on. He had basked in the pleasure that was radiating from his family. Sam had actually laughed so much he had cried, and then it had stopped. He couldn't remember how he got to bed last night, but he knew that it hadn't been under his own steam. The unfamiliar ache, the one that was present in his neck, in his back, as opposed to the familiar one, which pretty much lived down his right side, was testimony to what he suspected had happened last night. He'd had a fit, his first in months. He had a very vague recollection of someone. He thought it was his dad, helping him into the shower and then into bed. Dad doing it would be marginally better than if Sam had had to, and he thought he'd died of embarrassment if it had been Missouri. One thing he knew, though, was that if it was considered necessary for him to have a shower, then he'd... No point in dwelling on it. Couldn't change what had happened. It wouldn't surprise him, though, if Missouri was doing some laundry this morning. Someone was knocking the hell out of the front door. That must have been what had woken him up. Missouri had visitors. Clients, maybe. He ignored the door and closed his eyes, half tempted to go back to sleep. Only half tempted, because he wasn't tired. Sleep was simply an effective way to avoid the trials that the day may bring. Last night, before he got back to the house, before Sammy had picked him up, Mom had said that he needed to talk to his dad. But how could he? How well did Mom even know the man his dad had become? John Winchester wasn't the man he had been when she'd been around, when they danced in the kitchen, Dean held up between them, while Dad had tried to sing. They had chased each other around the garden, armed with wet sponges, while they were supposed to have been washing the car. He couldn't help the lump in his throat, or the smile that spread across his face. Those memories were things that he hadn't thought about for, well, for as long as he could remember. He suspected that talking to her had helped him find his way to where his early childhood resided. His recollection of her had never been as clear or as vivid before. Another knock downstairs. He considered the possibility that no one was going to answer. Maybe he was the only person in the house, and he'd have to somersault out of bed, scramble into his clothes, and then sprint down the stairs to get to the door in enough time to answer the insistent knocking, before the new arrivals either gave up or knocked the door down. Yeah, like that would ever happen. He was rescued from his idle thoughts by a muffled sound of Missouri's voice, which was accompanied by that of a man. A couple of moments later, he was certain that his father had joined in with the conversation. John Winchester's voice had an unfortunate quality that, even through floorboards and plaster, sounded angry, even if it wasn't what the man was feeling. He lay there, staring at the ceiling, concentrating on the sound of his father's voice. He knew that he wouldn't be able to do it, but he still tried to make out recognizable words, even syllables, in the baseline that traveled from the entrance hall simultaneously up the stairs and up through the floorboards. He played this game as a kid, very small, listening to his parents' voices in other rooms while he'd lie in bed, reassured by the proof of their existence in his world rather than by any secrets they shared. John wasn't always the most pleasant of people. He was under absolutely no illusion about that much-mentioned flaw in his character. He knew he could be gruff, abrupt, stubborn, and rude, and he most definitely wasn't always in possession of the patience that was sometimes required to deal effectively with figures of authority. Sometimes it got him into trouble that a calmer man, a more tractable man, could have avoided. In essence, years of limited social interaction had honed an ability to piss off people in less than 30 seconds. He didn't believe that, at this moment in time. He was in a good enough frame of mind to sweet-talk officers from the Lawrence Police Department. It didn't mean he wasn't going to try. He just didn't think he'd be able to hide his general disdain in their presence. His demeanor hadn't been helped by the fact that he'd hardly slept at all last night. It wasn't that Dean had needed him. Once he hit the sack, he'd been out cold, the semi-consciousness that he surfaced into after his seizure retreating into total oblivion. But he hadn't wanted to leave him on his own. No, Dean hadn't needed him. But he might have. It had been that possibility that had kept sleep at bay. It was just like when his boys had been babies. With Dean, Mary had been so tuned in to the possibility that he might need something that she'd been up and in the nursery before his gentle sighs and gurgles had had the chance to progress into anything like a cry. With Sam, after Mary, it had been Dean that had had that sense, that intuition. John had never been tuned into his kids like that. For him, it had been after he had had his eyes open to the darkness in the world that he'd begun to awake at the slightest sound. Every creak of a motel settling further into its foundations, every whistle of air through vents or gaps in doorways, every clang of decrepit central heating systems and plumbing, in a way had been the same thing, a desire to keep his boys safe, that had had him lying awake all night. John could function on a lack of sleep, had had a lot of practice at it. It was not conducive, however, to calm and congenial. He knew he could be a miserable bastard, and he knew that was an accurate description of how he felt right now. And that brought him straight back to them. There they stood, two of them, Laurel and fucking Hardy. The younger of the two, the tall one, wore a badge that said Langtree. He was stood under Missouri's mobile, allowing it to hit him on the head, ducking as if it was annoying him, but not moving out of the way. John sighed. It was cops like this that he really hated. Dumb as fuck, but having this unwavering belief that, because they were in uniform and carried a badge and a gun, they had the right to intimidate and demand. John was a long way from intimidated. This guy looked younger than his boys. Too young to be a cop. And John wondered whether nepotism had gotten him into the force, 'cause it sure wasn't mental activity. The other, the older, shorter guy, Nicholas, looked like he could possibly be more reasonable. He looked like he'd be the guy with the most authority, the most experience, the most sense. He looked at it, but he didn't act it. He stood back, away from his partner, and allowed him to do all the talking. When Missouri had opened the door and let them in, she had been softly spoken and polite. After an exchange of only a few words, you could tell that her good humor was strained, that she was silently hoping that they would climb back into the patrol car and go away. She didn't say as much, of course, but John could see the unspoken apology in her face as she turned away, that she hadn't tried to convince them that she was in the house alone. She'd heard them mention the car out front, and then Dean by name. It had immediately grabbed his attention, and okay, he had to admit, he had also put him in a full defensive mode. Once Langtree had spoken to him, John found himself staring at the officer as if will alone could make the asshole spontaneously combust. God he hated the police, always guilty until proven innocent. So, an old black car spot near the scene of a crime and you come here? He perused his notebook. Mr. Winchester, we would actually like to discuss this with your son. I already told you. John gave the fresh-faced novice the best intimidating glare he could muster after spending the night watching over his eldest. Officer Langtree, Dean won't be able to help you. We would still like to talk to him if he is here. John looked at the older officer, who seemed quite content to allow his counterpart to piss him off. He stood back, watching, listening, almost as if he was waiting for something. John half wondered if it was the kid's first time out of the station, and this guy was simply acting as babysitter. Is this Fun Q? Sang came trotting down the stairs, pulling a hoodie on over his head to cover a t-shirt. As he caught sight of the reception at the bottom of the stairs, he quirked an eyebrow at his dad, who sounded impatient and annoyed when he spoke. Sam, could you go see if Dean's awake and ask him to come down here? Without questioning his father, Sam turned on his heel and ran back upstairs. Almost as soon as Sam had gone, John turned back to the police officers who were standing in Missouri's entrance hall. I don't understand why you need to speak to Dean. We only arrived in Lawrence yesterday. If this thing happened last night and someone saw my car, how'd you know to come here? Black Chevrolet Impala with Kansas plates was seen by a man jogging towards Dad Perry Park at about the same time as a man was picked up by paramedics in that park. He flipped back a couple of pages in his notebook, giving an impression that his memory was so abysmal that he couldn't remember anything that he had been told that day. We were called to a domestic disturbance three doors down and happened to see your son's car in the drive. Domestic disturbance, hey? That would be the Sorensons, then, Missouri muttered. I told Andrew who was pushing it with cheating with Angela. I wonder if it was Camille or Melendra that she found out about. John glared at Missouri. She smiled politely and retreated back into the kitchen. She could see what kind of mood the man was in. She was just surprised that the police who were standing at the bottom of the stairs didn't seem to appreciate the fact they lit a fuse, and it wasn't a very long one. Dean won't be able to help you. It may be registered in his name, but he doesn't drive anymore. He had an accident a few years ago. John could see that the man in front of him simply wasn't listening. He would never have hurt at someone. He couldn't. Dan Nicholas hated his job some days. Babysitting the rookie was one of the worst things about being close to retirement. He simply didn't have the sense he was born with. He just couldn't see that the man in front of him was heading towards meltdown, would have probably thumped him already if he hadn't been wearing a uniform. He'd been with the kid for all of 2 days and had come to the unshakable conclusion that Del Langtree was a stupid fuck. He'd almost been assaulted at the Sorensen's house. Bloody hell, that woman had been out for blood, and the husband had managed to hide himself in the bathroom with the phone that he'd summoned them with. Some people were natural with people, had a way about them. This one? Maybe he should just let this Winchester guy have a go. Convinced the kid that this line of work wasn't for him. He was distracted as the two of them walked down the stairs. The one in front was the guy who'd come down the stairs earlier. Sam, his father had called him. The man coming slowly behind him must be Dean. He could see why his father claimed that the boy couldn't have committed the assault. Dean Winchester was barefoot and dressed in jeans and a t-shirt that didn't quite fit. The shirt actually looked like it belonged to his brother. He walked down the stairs slowly, left hand gripping the handrail, left foot resting on each step in turn until the right caught up with it. Oh yes, he could see why the father believed his son incapable, but... What? The stupid asshole Langtree wasn't even looking. What the hell was so important in that notebook anyway? Dean, these officers would like to ask you a few questions about an assault that happened yesterday. John hoped that he imagined the panic expression that fleetly skittered across his son's face. If he hadn't, then he hoped that prick with the notebook had been focusing on something else and hadn't caught it. He wasn't too sure about the other guy, who was, at that moment, stepping forward to remove the notebook from his partner's hand. As soon as the police had left, apparently satisfied, John had allowed Dean to seek refuge in the kitchen while he and Sam lingered in the hall.
Well, given that low performance, they had to accept that Dean had nothing to do with what happened.
He looked directly at his son.
What do you think?
Sam looked at his father, who was sitting on the wooden chair that backed onto the staircase. He looked tired, and there was concern there. His father had something on his mind, and it wasn't the smell of bacon and coffee that was reaching him from the kitchen. "Just before I found Dean at the park, I heard something. There was a scream. Dean, when I saw him, he looked distracted. Not scared, but I just don't know, Dad." John let his head fall backwards, and he breathed out an audible sigh.
"So he knows something about what happened."
"Yeah, I think so."
"Then we're going to have to talk to him."
As he rose, he added, "And he's going to have to talk to us." He didn't add that there'd be no getting away with the act that he'd given to the police. Dean had allowed the police to make the assumption that his brain was as unreliable as his body, had played into it. John would have been proud of his boy if it hadn't made him realize that he was keeping secrets, and some pretty major ones at that. In the end, they'd left and hadn't even suggested that they stay in town. They were officially crossing the name Winchester off the name of suspects. Though no one had spoken to the victim yet, and their dismissal of Dean was a suspect, may suddenly change if the victim was able to ID Dean as being, well, at least present. Missouri had said she was unaware of the lies. Right. At that moment, he doubted that Dean was unaware of anything. That maybe Dean, for all the difficulties he was having, for all the changes that injury had wrought on his body, was the same Dean who would lie, cheat, steal, and con if he had to. Yes, Dean had conned those police officers into feeling sympathy for him. No, not sympathy. It was worse than that. He had made them pity him. Pity. He hadn't faked the stumbling over his words. He hadn't faked the hesitant movements. But he had faked the look of confusion. Dean had been confused at all. Missouri could feel the determination coming from John. She had expected something like this at some point, just hadn't thought it would be so soon. She looked out the window to see Dean sitting on the bench in her backyard, allowing the sun to shine on his face. "Don't give that boy too hard a time, John." John didn't say anything to her, simply walked right past her, out her back door, and into her garden. Sam held back, pensive. He didn't want his dad to have a go at Dean, but he'd notice it too. Dean was keeping secrets. How the hell were they expected to keep Dean safe if he was determined to keep things from them?